thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for your word. And it just escaped me, Father. Thank you. If it's you reminding me, God, we lift up Steve's mom to you, that as she's in the hospital now, that you'll give the doctors wisdom, you'll give them just the right medication to slow her heart down and yet to raise her blood pressure a little bit, that you give Steve peace not to worry or fret about his mom, and that that his mom would be fine. Please, God, we lift up Steve, such a faithful servant, and his mom who beat COVID. Strong, strong woman, God, be with her tonight. May your comfort surround her, please, God. And Lord, we continue to pray that you would bless our Bible study, you would be with us, and that if there's anybody here that has something to glean or learn, like some rhema word we're looking for, Holy Spirit, have your way. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. If you're reading the Bible and it says something once, it should be enough. I mean, it's like God's word doesn't have to be redundant, right? Well, what we're going to read tonight is a running theme. And why it's a running theme in the Bible, hopefully, should be obvious to all of us. Chapter 6, verse 1, my son, I will also add my daughter. If you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. If you have come into the hand of your friend, go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Please give me your attention to stories that bring this section of scripture to life. It was 1997. Another prison story. However, I was there for about a month and a half. I just started to settle in. And every night, after the 5 o'clock count, guys would go out and watch TV. They'd work out, take a shower, relax, till the 9 o'clock count. Well, every night I'd go out, and on the north side, I was in Unit J, and I'd walk out there, and these guys would be playing cards. And they'd be like, hey, Christian boy, want to play some cards? And I always said, no, man, no. And one day, I was like, yeah, I'll play some cards. So I sit down, and I play a few rounds of poker, and as usual, I did my typical lost. I lost like $3.80 some odd cents or something like that, and I got up, and as a matter of fact, it's kind of funny because one of the Italians, and I was playing, prison's completely segregated and nobody really cares, you know, it's kind of one of those funny things. So I was playing with the black dudes from Pompano. Now there's the black dudes from Pompano, then there's the black dudes from Miami, and then there's the Hispanics, mostly there is Hispanic, and the Colombians didn't really hang out with the Puerto Ricans, but the Colombians didn't mind the Cubans at all, but they really hated each other. It's all the drama, it's hilarious. But as I'm walking out, this Italian guy named Tony Black walks on, he says to me, oh, Christian boy, don't you know that they gambled for Jesus' clothes at the foot of the cross? It's like, thank you. So, of course, as soon as I finish, the conviction of God falls upon me. Like, you know, when the world straightens you out, it's like the most embarrassing thing in the world. You know what I'm talking about? Like when the world calls you to the carpet. And there was this guy there, and I forget his name, but I remember him because he had one hand that was like this. He was a little guy. And he always carried one hand like this. He was a little tiny dude. Huh? No, he didn't hold a shank. He's just, he had like a weird bone thing happening. No, I was in a prison camp. There were no shanks. Good way to leave. In case you guys didn't know that, I was in what they call a camp. Like, you can leave anytime you want. The gates are open. But then they just pick you up and you got to start all over in a high security prison and work your way back to the camp. So if you want to leave, leave. But that would be really stupid because then when they pick you up, They just put you back in the high security, and then you got to work your way from high to medium to low back to the camp. I did the same thing. So the first few days I was in the high security, and then I worked my way down to the camp, and camp was nice. However, that night, I go to my bunk, and I remember that morning I read this verse. And here I owe this guy like $3.87. So at 11 o'clock at night, I raid my locker, and I'm counting out the money, and I got, you know, quarters and nickels and dimes, and I bring it to him, and I just remembered his name. His name was Rodney. I said, Rodney, he was like a white dude or Hispanic, I don't remember. I said, Rodney, I got to pay you now. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, bro, I got to pay you. He goes, what? Pay me what? I said, I just lost you $3. He goes, I don't care. I'm sleeping. I'm like, no, bro, this ain't supposed to be me, you know. You know, guys, please remember, this is 25 years ago. I'm a new believer, a year or two old. No, I'm just figuring this thing out. It's probably the first time I read that. But here's what I read. If you shake hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Ready? Verse 3. So do this, my son. Deliver yourself. Verse 4. Give no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. I was like, I'm getting this taken care of now. So he's like, bro, I don't care. Forget about it. We were just playing. No, I lost. I gave him the money. I went back. Next day, he's like, is there something wrong with you that you wake me up? Like, bro, I'm sorry, man. I'm supposed to be a Christian. This is not, you know, man, it's just not. I don't even care, man. Never played again, needless to say. But second story. I forgot. I remembered now. Okay. It just be like that sometimes, guys. I'm sorry. I have this guy who comes to my shop every few weeks, and he buys animals. Comes to my shop, he buys animals. He lives on the west coast of Florida. His name is Joe Fossey. I've known Joe Fossey for 25 years. He's got Southeast Reptile Exchange. One day he says to me, hey, man, do you want to import some animals from Ghana? I got a guy. Ghana is a country in West Africa. And I was like, yeah. He said, what's his name? He goes, Emmanuel. I said, oh no, Noah. His name's Noah Emmanuel. Noah. I said, Noah Emmanuel? He goes, yeah, is he still around? Yeah. I said, bro, I know that guy like 20 years ago. He goes, yeah, he's still doing it. I said, man, I heard bad things about the guy. I said, no, man. I was like, are you sure? So if there's any problem, you're gonna take care of it, right? Yeah. So I get in touch with Noah on WhatsApp. If you guys don't have WhatsApp, it's a thing you can call internationally, no fees. So I call him up. Hey, yeah, I'll say, send me a deposit. I send a guy a deposit. Guess what happens? Never sends me no animals. So I go back to Joe, and I say, Joe, remember you told me that you verified that this guy was legit? He said, yeah. I sent your boy money. He never sent me nothing. Oh, I'll call him on the phone. All right, do that. 2 weeks later, Joe shows up at my shop again. Hey, Joe, have you talked to Noah? Oh, I'll call him on the phone. This is a year and a half ago. He's still calling him on the phone. I'm glad the guy's showing up. Now, why am I telling you these stories? Whether you're on one side or the other, the Bible is really, really clear. Don't vouch for somebody. Don't vouch for them. And don't be one who is allowed to be vouched for. If you vouch for somebody, you're taken by the words of your mouth. Be careful telling somebody, I got it, don't worry about it. Listen to what he says again. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Whatever it is that you've done, get out of it. Now, some Bible teachers have used this verse to say that you shouldn't get a mortgage on your house or borrow money for your car. That is not what this is. This is being a vouch for somebody else. For instance, if you have a son or a daughter and they say, Dad, would you co-sign a loan for a car for me? Be careful. Because my experience, at least not with my kids, but with me doing it to my father, didn't work out good. You guys know what I'm saying? That is called being a surety bond for a friend. Don't do it. Now, again, if you guys are new to our Bible study, right now we're going through the book of Proverbs. And what's really cool about the book of Proverbs, it's straightforward. Although some of it is pictorial, some of it is symbolic, unlike a lot of the Bible we're reading, like Sunday reading, it's like, man, what does he mean when he says that? And well, here's what the Bible says here, and then I had to cross-reference it with another scripture. Man, this is straightforward. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever said something, somebody so straight, and they do the, whoever here grew up in the 80s and 70s and saw Welcome Back, Kotter? Okay, Welcome Back, Kotter had a character on it named Vinnie Barbarino. Right? Vinnie Barbarino was played by John Travolta. What? Who? Huh? When? You don't have to do that with this scripture. So many times God sends me a scripture and I feel like I'm Vinnie Barbarino. Huh? Don't do that. Huh? Don't go there. What? I do that to God all the time. Don't do that. What's great about the Proverbs, especially the section of scripture we're reading tonight, it's like, what was he saying? I don't know. This is a story. It's a hilarious story. I get it. When I get out, it's 1998, and a buddy of mine says to me, hey, you want to open up a store in Miami? And I was like, man, I got to get back to business. He goes, oh, bro, we'll open up the best store. It'll be right on Miami Beach. And I'm like, let's do it. He's like, I put up the money. You just put in the time. I'm like, that's just my price. The next week, I go to church, and Bob reads this story in the Bible. Do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. And here's the craziest thing. I'll never forget. This is 1998, mind you. I'll never forget sitting there going, he's not talking to me. This is not for me. And he went like through the whole thing. And listen, if you're starting a business and the guy is not a believer, you guys, he said, even if you're with a believer, make sure he's on fire for the Lord like you are. Don't be like, well, I'm dating a guy, but he's Catholic. Don't do that. And I was sitting there just going, he's not talking to me. No, 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 no. Vinnie Barbarino, huh? What? Don't do that to yourself tonight. Anything I say tonight, that's for you, just receive it and deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter, like a bird from the fowler. The greatest part about being a Christian, I'll never forget when I first got saved, literally weeks after I got saved and I was involved in so much bad stuff. I remember a buddy of mine said to me, just stop. Just don't do it no more. And it was the first time I was like, yeah. Why didn't I think of that? Because when you're on the outside of the strength of God, the last thing you could, well, I've already done it, so I might as well stay there. You guys understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Continuing, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. When will you slumber? I'm sorry. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Now, when we get to I think 8 or 9. It's not 8. It might even be. One of the Proverbs, he goes through a whole litany of things that he says to the lazy person. Here is just the introduction. He calls a lazy person a sluggard. a sluggard. Our whole society has been poisoned by video games. Who said that? You? When my son was in college, yeah, it's been poisoned, okay? That same look that's on your face now, that's the look you probably get when you're watching TV playing video games and your thumbs hurt. Yeah, there you go. That's the best place your face belongs. I remember calling, my son had a roommate named Dominic. And I called Dominic and I said, Dominic, you near my son? And he goes, no. He said he's at study hall or something. I said, what's going on? He said, what? I'm like, my son hasn't called me in 4.5 weeks. Now, some of you guys, that might be no big deal. That's not my son. Me and my son, since he's, we every single day, what's going on? But how are you? All of a sudden he goes to college and got no time for his dad. Feeling sorry for myself much? So he goes, no, everything's good. And I said, Dominic, are you guys playing video games all day and all night? And he says to me, so your son doesn't. He only plays like 2-3 hours a day. What? He goes, so yeah, me and the guys, we stay up all night, man, because, you know, school's easy and all we got to do is wrestle. So, like, we're 5-6 hours. He's only like 2-3 hours. Go to the ant, you sluggard. You know what he means by go to the ant? He wants you, next time you see an ant pile, to go like this. Why are you so busy? Have you ever stepped on one of those mounds? But I mean like on purpose, not by accident. You just go like that and step back and see them all come out. If you had a microphone and put it there, they'd be cussing up a storm. You did me. And the first thing they do is they start rebuilding it. You come back an hour later, the whole thing is perfect again. Go to the ant, you sluggard, which having no captain, no overseer, no ruler, provides its supplies. Self-motivation is the hardest thing in the world to give to your kids. An entrepreneurial spirit, somebody who needs no motivation. Let me explain to you what the government is doing right now. Yes, it's political time, but that's the way it goes. Every job that you have that is apart from the government will be regulated by the government so that you can be at any point in time considered an outlaw. You understand that? If you're in air conditioning, they will outlaw. But do you remember a few years ago where they outlawed a certain type of gas?
They're about to do the new one, 410. They just are 22. They started zoning out.
And if you're caught using that gas when you're not supposed to be using that gas, you could face fines. You could face jail time. The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, give them more power, more power, more power. When I first got into the reptile industry, I was a hero to kids everywhere I went. Hey, there's the reptile guy. But the more regulatory body, fish and wildlife, game and freshwater fish, the more that they heap on, they use their buddies in the media to portray us as flesh peddlers, animal dealers. You guys are horrible. Now, for 25 years, I've been breeding a lizard called a tegu. They just outlawed them in Florida. And come October, if I don't get rid of my tegus, I face stiff fines, loss of my business license, and eventually, literally overnight. Now, for 30 plus years, my job, 55, for 50 years, my family's been going to upstate New York, an area called Monticello. And me and my brother, and me and my friends, when we got old enough, we'd go up there and we'd go into the woods after a rain and we'd catch these little lizards called red Fs. It's a type of salamander. And we'd catch a bunch of them and we'd bring them home. We'd sell some to our friends, some to pet stores. 50 years. Well, about 3 years ago, they made it what's called a Lacey Act violation. That is a federal felony. You can go up to upstate New York, catch a little salamander, bring it to New Jersey, 15 minutes away, and you have now committed a federal felony. Why is the government doing that? It's very simple. They want serfs. They want to make our country, they already are making our country, a socialist society where you get your hand off, here's your piece, and here's your piece, and here's your piece. Welfare is in slavery, where you get your sustenance and your substance from the government. You work in the oil industry, you have one president, and you're hailed as a hero, and you've made our country self-sufficient, and then the next president comes in. Do you understand what's going on? The entrepreneurial spirit is a very, very dangerous, yet beautiful thing. And to burn that into your kids, start your own business, do it, work hard. One thing I got from my father above everything else, he always told me, I don't care what you do, be the best at it. I don't care if you want to drive a truck. I don't care if you want to clean the street. I don't care. Just don't be mediocre. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with a government job. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a civil servant. I don't. I just happen to know if you want an inexhaustible, unlimited income, start your own business. You with me? Because even the ant that has no captain, overseer, or ruler provides her supplies in the summer, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber? Wake up. How many hours a night you need? 8? 10? How many hours? Well, I stay up late talking to my boyfriend in France. Verse 12. So what? Don't be a gay hater. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, listen. We've had some fun, but I'm going to be honest with you. Fun's about over. Right now, the writer of Proverbs, he kind of shoots it really hard and straight. And I don't think there's a dude in here right now that's not going to kind of feel a little bad about this. Please, I'm not trying to shoot at nobody here because I'm shooting at myself straightest. Listen to the things that God declares a worthless person and things he hates. First, somebody who walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles with his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Before we go to the six things he hates, the picture here isn't somebody who just, hey, you know, God thinks that's terrible. No, that's not it. It's this. Mr. Smooth, you seen him out there? You seen him out there? Matter of fact, you see him every time you go to buy a car. Hey, how much is your budget? Listen, $300 a month, man. That's where I'm at. And somehow every time you get to that finance guy, and it's, how'd we get to 450? I said 300, because he winks, he shuffles, perversity's in his heart. You see that phenomenon, God? You guys know what I'm saying? Be careful at work, man. Watch your sales pitches. Be careful when you're with the boys what you say about somebody else's daughter or wife. Be careful what you let your heart utter. Now, I don't know if this ever happens to any of you guys here, but because I'm entrepreneurial, because I'm always thinking of ways, angles to make money, like I could be sitting there, and all of a sudden without realizing it, I've let my mind wander into space, and all of a sudden I've got like this scheme of how to rob a bank. And I go, whoa, how did I get there? That's stupid. How did I just think that? I drove by a business, and I saw that there was a business there, and then there was an empty one there. And back in the day, that's what you look for, because you break into that at night. There's no alarm. It's empty. You cut through the wall, because, like, wait a second. What are you doing? I just, that's stupid. It's the craziest thing. Guy calls up on the phone today at the store. Guy Pete that works with me comes on. He says, hey, Ryan, this guy called up, and he has elongated tortoises. He goes through this list of stuff. And all of a sudden, he has northern wood turtles and diamondback terrapins. Man, northern wood turtles are the greatest turtle in the world. They also come from upstate New York. Upstate New York, they call them old red legs. It's this long turtle about this long and have these red legs. They call it a wood turtle because sometimes it goes in the water, sometimes it goes on land. They're the coolest thing. They're personal. They lift their head up and they look. You feed them with your head. Oh, I love those things, man. How many's he got? He's got like five of them. What state's he in? New York. But he's got, you can't import it. You can't get him out of New York. But I love those turtles. You know what I can do? I'll buy the other stuff. I won't have him right. What are you doing? If that doesn't happen to you, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to relate to somebody here. It's just, no. Tell him stop. I love those turtles. You guys with me? You gotta be careful, man. Because that stuff is an abomination to the Lord. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies, and then the hardest one who sows discord among brethren. These things the Lord hates. Now, whatever excuses we try to develop and devise in our heads and our hearts on why we're not this, let's get rid of them because we are. I guarantee each of us there do at least two or three of those things, maybe more, especially that last one. So many people, we have a friend of ours. His wife is like the sweetest thing in the world. Me and Joy love these people. She, though, this woman is the most agreeable, nicest, kindest person. She hates disagreeing with people, and she can't call people out. So people will come to, do you know what your husband, do you know, oh, really, he did? Oh, he's so terrible. And somebody else will go, oh, he did. And then the husband will say, honey, do you know, I can't believe. She's on everybody's side all the time. And then she does it to herself. Like one time I heard her talking to Joy. She said, do you believe I do that? And Joy was like, I can't believe it. Me neither. You know what I'm talking about, right? She's the nicest thing in the world, but you know, the Bible says this, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Tough thing is, man, you know, the Lord Jesus said this way, and this is a toughie, guys. I know it's a toughie. You think that I came to bring peace? Nay, no, a sword. I will set a man in variance against his own son, father-in-law against mother. You understand that there is a line in the sand that has to get drawn, and sometimes you got to say, listen, I don't want to hear your gossip. If you got a problem with them, go to them face to face. Don't bring it to me. We had this talk in the gym on Monday night. Monday night, I sat all of our students that were there down, and I said, hey, guys, listen, let's do this. In the gym, when you fight against each other, there's guys that have these little things that they do that really annoy you. Like some guys club you. They take their forearm and they whack you against the side of the head. You're like not supposed to do that. Other guys, when they grab your face, they like take their finger and they put it in your eye and your nose. And you know, you're not supposed to do that. But they always do that because you're in the heat of battle and it's hard not to. And then when the person leaves, you know what they did? You know what he did? So I said last night, I said, everybody, guys, if somebody does that to you, here's what I want you to do. Just go talk to them one-on-one. Don't complain to your buddy. Talk to them. Usually it's just heated about, especially the new guys. Like when you have a 210-pound guy on top of you and he's smushing your face into the mat, or we have a guy named Andrew, or was it you that does it? Waterboarding. He does something we call waterboarding. He wears these rash guards. And when you're training, they get all soaking wet. And then when he mounts the white belt, he takes his garment and he puts it over their face. And you're just covered with this nasty wet sweat. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Is that why your husband don't come to the gym anymore? He's busy. That's a Spanish word. He's busy.
I never waterboarded.
You never waterboarded him? Next time. Guys, read these again to yourself later on. And just, man, ask the Lord, where can I make my adjustments? Because there's few things in the Bible where it says God hates. Like one of them is divorce. God hates divorce. You know, I've really been praying, and I think God would have me divorce my husband. No, he wouldn't. He might allow you to divorce your husband, but he doesn't want you to divorce your husband. If your husband cheated on you, then he might allow it. Might. My son, verse 20, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Please give me your attention. Let me explain this to you. I remember when I first got saved, I started reading the Bible. I started holding on to these promises that were in the Bible. And then here's what happened. I realized, like a lot of us, you realize there's a lot of living left to do. And it'd be really cool if you got saved, and as soon as you got saved, you got sucked out of here. You know, like, I'm in heaven, I got saved. But you're not. And now you still got to live life. And you find out that although when you first get saved, God looks down. Like, for me, he took foul mouth. Like, I just truck driver mouth. And like day one, he just took that from me. Every time I cussed, like I was like, I thought God was mad at me. Sorry. Now, that doesn't, some people, they get saved. I've seen people get healed of cigarettes, crack, alcohol. I've seen crazy, but the hard stuff is the stuff he just says, no, I want you to give that to me. But I like this sin. Yeah, but I want you to give it to me. If you don't want it, why don't you take it from me? No, that one I want you to give to me. When I'm ready, I'll give that to you. But I like this one. This is my pet sin. The Bible doesn't directly talk about this sin. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't. What? Huh? Where? I didn't read that yet. And what happens is when you mess up, and here's, and new believers, please tune into this. This is so important. When you mess up, you get to read in the Word after you mess up, and now you feel like it's not for you anymore. like, well, I've messed up and now God's mad at me, so I can't claim those promises anymore. You hear what it says here? Reproofs of instruction. Are the way of life. Your whole life, you're going to mess up. You're going to do dumb things. If you're trying to walk with the Lord, if you're trying to walk holy, if you're trying to keep your eyes pure, your thoughts pure, and not do the things that the Lord hates, it's the conviction of God. And it's always going to be the enemy who, when you pick up the word, and your heart starts to tell you, well, I deserve what I got, and these promises aren't for me anymore. That's a lie. It's from hell. The word of God is living and powerful, and it's for you right where you are, even if you messed up. Are you understanding that? This is so, so important, because we think that God, once you get saved, that means you're going to be perfect. Guys, you're never going to be sinless, but after you get saved, you're going to be blameless. I heard a guy put it this way, and I really dig this. If you confess your sin to God because your heart is hurting, God has forgiven you. After that, it's the enemy. Like, you did something really terrible. For me, abortion. Just 5 of them. 6, one with somebody else's kid. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop thinking about the children I have in heaven. I can't stop. And the enemy is always kicking my butt about it. It's like, dude, did you ask God to forgive you for that sin? Yeah, but I feel, well, that's your problem right there. Who told you to feel? Did you confess that to God? Yeah. Well, the first time you asked him, he forgave you for it. Now, the second time, the enemy, who is what the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren, he's trying to distract you. He's trying to discourage you. You with me, guys, on this? It's so important. Don't think that God has like this jar of your sins. Well, you're getting yours, Oscar, one day. I know it's been 20 years, but, well, you did it, so you... Bible says as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Now, dig this. Peter comes to the Lord and says, hey, God, if my brother comes to me 7 times in a day, and 7 times he keeps messing with me, and he keeps asking forgiveness, should I forgive him 7 times? And the Lord says, not 7 times, 7 times 70. Now let's take this to a different place where most people don't think about it. If we're supposed to forgive our brothers that many times, how many times do you think God forgives us? God's only asking us to do what he does for us. So what happens is we screw up, we do a sin, we ask God to forgive us, he forgives us, we do the same sin the next day, and we think, man, God isn't, he's not going to keep forgiving me. What are you talking about? He told Peter 7 times 70 because that's how much he forgives you. Isn't that nice to think about like that now? Yeah, I can roll with that one. I can roll with that. Reproofs of instruction of the way of life, the latter part of verse 23, but now he goes someplace else. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. You're going to see for the next 2 weeks this running theme, and this is what I was talking about this. Why does the Bible, especially in the Proverbs, talk so much about the evils of fornication, adultery? Why? Because we all love that. We all need to hear it more than once. Well, I didn't read that. I've never read that. You haven't read that it's bad to fornicate? Do you read the Bible? No. That's why you didn't read it. Anybody who picks the Bible up Old or New Testament. Now, watch. Why is it? Why does God have to mess with our pleasures? He's not. He's saving you from your pains. He made this thing, and he's trying to help you not fall into these dumb traps. Well, why did God make something that feels so good, so much pain? Ask him when you get there. But that thing there, leave it where it is. Do you know how many people think that once they have sex, they're married? Like, no, you're not. Well, no, it is, because the Bible calls that fornication. Now, it's another sin that God can forgive. Amen. But make no mistake about it. Just because you have sex with somebody don't mean you're married to them. As a matter of fact, it'll poison everything. You'll wish after you got married you wouldn't have done it. Watch one other theme you're going to see here. You see where it says the flattering tongue of a seductress? You see that, guys? It's an interesting thing here. Women, men, do more danger with their words than they do with their looks. Be careful of somebody who you don't think is attractive. Because the seductive woman, the seductive man, it ain't their looks that'll get you. It's their mouth. It's that compliment. It's them saying something good at just the right time, where all of a sudden you're like, wow, they ain't that ugly. Watch how he continues. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Man, that is a description. Now, if you're Italian, you probably don't understand this, and I'll tell you why, because Italians generally like the crust best. Like, my father, he would scoop the white out of there and, don't eat that, that stuff's bad for you. Eat that nice, crunchy part on the outside. We have a bread in Italian called semolina. It shreds the roof of your mouth, but you don't care because it's that good. Yeah, for by means of a harlot, a prostitute, a loosey-goosey, a woman who doesn't care, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Man. You know, there's some things you can't say. You don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to embarrass myself or any. But if any of you have been in any relationships before the person you're with, you know exactly, this is just like, dude, I let that person, why was I so stupid? If you've ever had somebody cheat on you, if you've ever had somebody tell you they love you and then betray you, and then they look at you and lie to your face about it, it's like, you might as well have gargled with Drano. It just absolutely wrecks you. And then he makes this description. And again, please, interchange man for woman here. It's no different. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet when he's found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Again, if this picture is not clear to you yet, he goes, listen, somebody goes to the store and robs something who's hungry. Nobody hates that person. Yeah, the guy stole a steak. Yeah, he stole a few pieces of fruit. You don't hate the guy, but make no mistake about it. He's going to have to pay for it. But whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Sleeping with another person's spouse wrecks your soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get. Listen to this. And his reproach will not be wiped away. Let me tell you something, guys. The dirge that's on Christianity today is megachurch pastors falling for sexual sin. And I know great pastors, who have 20 to 30 years of being honest and faithful, but yet long ago they screwed up. That's all people remember. It's a shame. Great ministries, happy family, but as soon as you see them, oh, yeah, that's that guy that years ago. Yeah. You rob money, they forget about it. Get into a fist fight, they forget about it. Nobody thinks about that. They actually make a joke about it. But the person that slept with somebody else's, they always remember it. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. Now, that's the end of the chapter from the Numbers perspective, but it continues on from the original text. But we're going to split it here because it's almost 9 o'clock, and I always want to stop before 9 on a Wednesday night. But it's an interesting thing to read this over and over again. Remember, we're shooting straight. No symbols here. It ain't me, guys. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. I'm as convicted as you are about many of these things, probably all of them. But if you are in or have been nailed by the Word of God tonight, you know what you need to do? Deliver yourself like a gazelle, like a bird. Get out of it. You can do it. It's not too late for you. And time between you and that, God will rebuild and he will use you. It gets worse next week. I'm sorry, guys. It really does. Chapter 7 ain't much better. Chapter 8's really cool. I can't wait for chapter 8. But chapter 18 is another toughie, too. 18:1 is like one of my favorite. He who isolates himself, seeks his own desire, raises his own. I love that verse. That's because I'm the guy. I'm just, leave me alone. I want to be left alone. You're an idiot. That's why I am. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the power of your word. We thank you so much for the straightforwardness of your word and for the wisdom. God, please pour your strength out on us that we would have the ability and the strength to get out of the things that we shouldn't. God, if anything that I said, any story, any symbol that touched anybody's heart, God, help us. We need you. We need you, God. We don't want to be a sluggard. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to go into the neighbor's wife or husband, God. We want to be one that you love, not do things that you hate. Help us, God. We need you. By the power and blood of Christ, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Amen.